trying to mimic what they had. We're trying to get the same thing that they had. And in doing that, what we're not doing is we're not looking to the Word of God and trusting the Word of God. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My assurance is grounded and based in the Word of God. Amen. I had to wrestle with this myself. It was, I don't even know how long ago, 10, 12 years ago. And I had to get alone with the Bible. I knew what I had been told and what I'd been taught, but there was some things, there was some gaps in there, things I hadn't been taught. I hadn't been taught evidence of salvation, kind of what I came from. It's like, if you're looking for that, that's a work salvation. And I'm like, you've called on the name of the Lord, you're saved. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. If you asked him, the Bible says, Brother Hinson read it last night, and it's true. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God. So I was told that, and I said, well, I know that. But I still had doubt. I still didn't have assurance. And I had to figure it out. And what was it that did it for me? It was when I decided I need to get in the Word of God. And I started looking at the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? Amen. And I examined myself to see if you be in the faith. And I had to look at myself, and I had to look at my life and examine my life and see if there was fruit meet for repentance. I had to look at that in my own life. And as I did that, God gave me an assurance. God, not a preacher telling me. Amen. All a preacher can do is tell you what the Word of God says. That's it. Amen. Now, I can tell somebody, look, the Bible says, and I believe this 100%, once saved, always saved. Amen. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Amen. And if somebody does, then to me, you're a fool. Because God said that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right. Now, either he meant eternal or he did not. Right. Period. Period. So I can tell somebody that if you have the gift, and as Brother Hinson said, with a gift, you get two options. You can receive it or reject it. That's all you can do with a gift. Okay, and the gift of God is eternal life. So if you have received that gift, then what you received was eternal life. Amen. Forgiveness of sins. You possess that if you've received it. Here's what I can't do. I can tell you the Bible says that. I cannot tell you if you've received it. Amen. I can't do that. I can show you the Bible says this, 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 this. You have to figure that out. That's between you and him, because you're the only one that will stand for him before him and answer for yourself. I am not going to answer for you in that way. Now, as a pastor, overseer, I have some responsibility to answer for what I teach you and things, but I can't answer to God for your relationship with him or lack thereof. But you can know you have eternal life. Amen. You can. And we're here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. I want to read something to us. It says, the heart, many of you know this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. See, when we look to somebody else's experience or to what somebody else says, that's when we're in the realm of allowing our heart to deceive us. Brother Brad, will you look up the verse for me where it says, comparing ourselves with ourselves, we become unwise? Will you look that up for me, please? There's a problem, a danger for us when we compare ourselves to somebody else. We don't want to look to somebody else. We want to look to him and to his word, because this is how we can know him. This is what teaches us of him. This is where we're given that knowledge. What verse you got there, brother? Thank you. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Second Corinthians 10:12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So as they measure themselves amongst themselves, compare themselves to others, God says they're not wise. It's foolish to do that. Why? Because we're to attain for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's the one we're to look at. He's the one we're to follow after. We're to seek to be like him and to be brought up in his image. That's what we're to do. We're to be like Christ. And Christians, let me help you. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. That way, if a man of God ever goes down in sin, it's going to hurt. It'll hurt a lot. But you say, I wasn't following him. I'm following him. I was following that man as long as he followed him, but he got off the path and I'm still following him. Don't let what someone else does hurt your walk with God. Men are going to do wrong, period. Now, you should have a godly pastor that loves the Lord, follows him, strives to do what he can. That's what God wants for us. But if your pastor ever goes down, if I ever go down, Lord willing, that never happens. I pray that never happens. But if I ever do, you keep serving God. Amen. You keep following him. But when we compare ourselves, getting back to what I'm talking about having an assurance of our salvation, look, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart will deceive you. We've all experienced that, I think, if we're honest. I know I have lots of times, more than I like to admit, okay? My heart's deceived me and I've gone the wrong way because I followed my heart, okay? So we've all experienced that. And I believe one of the reasons why is because we don't look to the Word of God. Here's what it is. It's a lack of faith. We believe what somebody else is going to say rather than what the Bible says, rather than the Word of God. And we don't look to the Word of God for the assurance that we need. And I think sometimes that's why a lot of truly saved people don't have the assurance that they need. Is because they're not going to the right source. Their hearts deceived them. I can't say that's the case every time, obviously. You know, Brother Brad fought with it and he wasn't saved. Miss Bernice fought with it. She wasn't saved. So that's obviously a truth. And that's, again, why I can't tell you if you're saved or not. That's between you and God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. I mean, does God's Spirit ever speak to you? Does God ever convict you to share the gospel with somebody, to give somebody a gospel tract? Does God convict you when you aren't when you've done something wrong, when you've sinned? Does God convict you of those things? So let's go, if we would, to 1 John, please. This is supposed to be a missions conference, and I'm not even supposed to be preaching, but you know, with what happened last night, I felt the need. Our church needs this, I believe. 1 John 1, and we'll pick up in verse 3. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you just help, God, use this to be a blessing to people, to help. And give me the words to say, Lord. I need wisdom from you, knowledge and understanding. I need you to guide the words that I speak and just to help us, Lord. I pray you'd use your word to give assurance, to help people. Maybe there's others in here that are doubting as well, and I pray you use this to help them. And God, they'd never doubt again. And Lord, if they're lost, then show them, convict them, and help them to get saved. Please, God. Amen. Pray for me, please. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We're going to stop right there. We'll continue through more of this. But it says that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is unity. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And he says, our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. That's unity. This is to a church, I believe. Fellowship is unity. Fellowship means we're together. We're going the same direction. We're in agreement. And biblical fellowship is going to be, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. And it's based on doctrine. We could connect that to 2 John 9 through 11. I'm not going to go there right now, but you can. Fellowship is unity, and fellowship, furthermore, is based on light. Amen. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, and we're in fellowship with each other, then what does that say? If God is light and we're in fellowship with him, then we're in light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we're not going to be in darkness. We're going to be in light. Now look at this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if we say we have fellowship with him, but we're walking in darkness, that's not true. We don't have fellowship with him. You following me? We do not the truth. We're not doing the truth. Why? Because the truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if he's light, then we're going to be in the truth. So if we're not, if we're in darkness, if we walk in darkness, he says we lie and we do not the truth. We're not doing the truth. We're not doing what the light has shown us. So we are in darkness. So instantly right there, what happens? This is talking to a church here. It's talking about, and the church is the baptized members that make up that body. Okay, those that are, we're in fellowship, right? Amen. We're in light. Colossians 1, the saints in light. Okay, we're joined together in unity, in fellowship. And if we are walking in darkness, then what does it say? We have no fellowship. We don't do the truth. So it doesn't mean we're lost. What does it mean? We're not in the fellowship with him like we should be. There's a hindrance there. Amen. There's a lack of closeness with God. He says, you're going the wrong direction. You're not going the same direction as me because we're not in light. I'm over here. This is the way I'm going, God says. But you're not doing the truth. You're in darkness. We don't have fellowship now. He's talking to a church, saved people. So he says, you're not close to me. You're far away from me. We're not connected like we should be. Do you see how through that you can feel like you're not saved? And I'm not trying to tell anybody here if you're saved or not, but look, I'll preach the truth and I'll stand here strong and declare that, man, if you're saved, you've got it. You've got eternal life. Amen. You've got it. And I'll preach as well that, look, you can have a profession with no possession, and I'll preach that strong. Why do we kind of back off of this? Because we say, well, I don't want to give someone a false hope. Well, I don't want to give them a false hope either way. I don't want to, if you're saved, I don't want you to think you're lost. If you're lost, I don't want you to think you're saved. So we just preach the truth. So look, if you're over here and God's over there and you're saved, you believe you're saved, but you've gotten this far away from him. And by the way, you can get farther and farther away and feel worse and worse. And then you start looking and saying, well, you know, I heard what these people said, their testimonies, and I just don't feel that same way. Stop comparing yourself to others. When you do that, you become unwise. Amen. You become unwise. You're not wise. It's not wise to do that. So start looking to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Well, look, this is what it means. Examine yourself. Let's look at all of it, not just, you know, parts of it. Let's look at all of it. It's possible that you're saved and you're out of fellowship with him. You're not as close to him as you should be. And this passage we'll get to, it gives us the answer for what we're to do, for how to get back in fellowship with him. But you can be, God's over there in the light and you're over here. You know you're in disobedience to him and you're saying you're going to feel close to him. I'm just telling you right now, 2 Peter, and Brother Brad's going to preach through it probably in 6 months when he gets there, because we're still on verse 1, and he's like, I think we're going to be here for another month. But 2 Peter, you can read it. It says this, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, look, if these things be in you. You've got to put these things in you. You've got to do these things. And what is it added to? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You have to add this to your faith. This is talking about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to add these things to what is there. I'm going to add these things to the foundation that has been built on Jesus Christ. I'm going to add them. So it says, for if these things be in you, if means that it's possible for them not to be in you. Okay, for if these things be in you and abound. So they need to be in you and abound. Yep. It's not just kind of, they're there and it's like, man, I'm living this thing. This is real to me. I'm adding these things and God is at work in my life. I'm adding to knowledge temperance and to temperance patience and to patience godliness. These things are being added and they're abounding. So if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They make you. That's promised right there. If these are in you, you will be fruitful. You won't be unbarren. You'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 9 though. Watch out. We're talking about adding to faith. He's talking to saved people here. But, hey now, I've been there. But, he that lacketh these things, watch out now, what does it say next? Help me, what does it say next? Is blind. Now, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. First John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. You ever had the light shut out on you? It's like you're blind because you can't see. But he that lacketh these things is blind. So we're talking about somebody that's saved that has not been adding these things to their faith. So what happens to them when they do that? They are barren and unfruitful. Saved person now. Barren and unfruitful. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Why can't they see afar off? Because they're in darkness. They're not in fellowship with him. You see what I'm saying? They're not in fellowship with God like they should be. They're in darkness. They've left him. God never leaves us. I'm telling you right now, God never leaves us. He promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When there's a distance between us and God, God's like, where are you at? I've been right here. Amen. Waiting for you to get back over here. Where are you? I haven't moved. It's us that have left him. So we go in darkness. We're blind. And it says, and cannot see afar off. Now watch it now. Check this out. Save people here. Come on. And hath forgotten, what? Forgot. They forgot something. Why? Because they're in darkness. They're not in the light. What's happening now? What's the light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They're not in the light. They're in darkness. They cannot see afar off, and they hath forgotten. Wait a minute. So that means they're not seeing the light. What? They're not seeing the word of God. What? They're looking to somebody else's experience. They're looking to duplicate what happened to somebody else. They're out of fellowship. They're in darkness over here. And they have forgotten. They forgot this. They forgot this closeness with God. They forgot it. God's like, come on, get back on. But they stepped into darkness and they're over here. And God says, they have forgotten what? That he was purged from his old sins. That you were purged, that those were taken out. You forgot. Why? See, you started listening to lies. Started believing lies. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, started believing the lies. Instead of realizing, you know, I'm in darkness. I'm not in fellowship with God. I've been looking to the Word of God for my answers. Look, I'm all for somebody coming and asking me, and I want to help you. I want to give you the Word of God. I'm all for that. That's why I'm here. But the only help I can be is to point you to this, to give you this, and to show you what this says, because this is where the assurance comes from. I mean, if you're counting on me for your assurance, what are you going to do when I get discouraged and I get down? You're just going to ride a roller coaster with me. Come on. See, you got to look to God. You can't forget. Amen. You forget when you step into darkness. As soon as you stop obeying God, you stepped into darkness. In any area, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how silly it may be to someone else. When you stop obeying God, you're immediately in darkness. Because you can't say you're walking in light. And as soon as you do that, that's when you're on the path to a hard heart. Amen. Let's go back to 1 John. There's so many things going through my mind right now. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go. So verse 6 again, if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have fellowship one with another. What is that? That's within the body. Why? Because the body's in fellowship with him. Those that are walking in light are in fellowship with him. And you can be in the body and start to depart from that. And then it doesn't mean you're not a part of the body, but it does mean you're not in fellowship with us. And if you go down that path, eventually it can mean you're no longer a part of the body. Okay, I don't want to have to like hyper explain everything, but I do want to give us some understanding, okay? But you can be out of fellowship with all of us, even though you're a part of the body, because you're not in light. What does that look like in a human body? Looks like you sprain your ankle, you sprain your wrist. It's not working like it should. This thing isn't in fellowship. Annabelle's wrist isn't in fellowship with the rest of her body right now. I don't know. It might still hurt. I don't know if it does. She sprained it yesterday. You know, you break your leg, you're definitely not going to be in fellowship. It's still part of the body, but this thing is not in fellowship with the rest of us. This thing is causing problems. It's hurting us. It's hindering what we can do. So this is why it's so important that all of us are in fellowship, that all of us are walking in light. Amen. And when we step into darkness, that's when our heart can start getting hardened, when our heart can be deceived because we're not following the light. We're not letting the Word of God teach us. And we need to let the Word of God teach us. Okay, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, now get this, who's he talking to? The church. If we say that we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, sometimes we will do something, we'll ignore God, we'll not listen to God. And I'm talking about, I think many times that's most of the ways. It's not that we are in outright just wicked, gross sin. It's sometimes, I think when you are in fellowship with God, when you're in a church that's teaching truth and you're striving to walk in the light, I think most oftentimes the way that we deceive ourselves and sin comes in is not in what we do so much, but it's in what we don't do. Because God tells us to do something, and we're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And then we're in darkness. We deceive ourselves and saying, oh, I'm still doing all this stuff at church. Yeah, but God told you to start waking up 15 minutes early and pray. Isn't it easy to deceive ourselves? Yeah, but God told you to go jump out of a vehicle and share the gospel with somebody. But I'm on my way to work. Oh, man. Oh, that one gets me more than I'd like to admit. That's darkness. And we deceive ourselves and say, well, I witness on Saturdays and Sundays, and I gave one to the person at the grocery store the other day. But God says, but I wanted you to give one to that person. And we say, but, what are we? We're in darkness. We're not following God as he leads us. And God does lead individually as well. Amen. You say, well, I thought you said go to his word. I did. His word says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, now I'm going to pinpoint some for you. And when we don't listen, we're not walking in light. We're walking in darkness. And we'll deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, I'm not so bad. Well, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does it mean? See, for so long I thought that seems like it's saying you're not saved. Nope. It's saying you're not in the light. You're in darkness. The truth isn't in you. You're not accepting it. You're not letting it teach you and guide you and lead you. Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm not allowing the word of God to guide and lead me, to tell me what direction to go. I'm not allowing that to happen. Therefore, the truth is not in me. I'm not letting it. I blocked it off. What have I decided? I said, I don't want the light. I want the darkness. And when we do that, we can deceive ourselves. But look at the answer here. Verse 9, if we confess our sins. Now, who's he talking to here? Look, God's like, look, I don't want this to sound bad. It's going to sound bad. But God is like, when you fail, hey, Peter, when you deny me, come on. Isn't that what it's like? Peter, when you deny me, Peter's like, never, Lord. He's like, no, actually, in about 2 hours, you're going to do it 3 times. Okay, he's like, not me. I'll die with you. And then he's like, running. You know, I mean, he's just gone. Okay, so if we confess our sins, when you fail, when you sin, he, praise God for that, because he's the only one that can do this, he is faithful and just to forgive us. See, but I got all my forgiveness at the cross. Yes, you got forgiven for the penalty that was there. But we're talking about fellowship now. My children are my children. Even if they say, I forsake you, you're no longer my dad. I'm like, too bad. I'm always going to be your dad. Doesn't matter what you say. You're stuck with me. But man, that sure would hurt the fellowship. I'd be so heartbroken. Oh, I'd be heartbroken. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. See, if my child were to do that, they'd have to come back in repentance. You know that? They wouldn't have stopped being my child. But they wouldn't have felt like one. And they'd have had to come back to me and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And it could only be me and their mother that could grant them forgiveness. Nobody else could. Their sister or brother couldn't say, it's all right, you're forgiven. Nope, they wronged us. They wronged us. We're the only ones that can grant that forgiveness. And it's the same thing with God. When we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And look at this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? That means when God is over there and I'm over here going my way, and I finally realize, what in the world am I doing? I cannot believe I'm doing this. And God has broken you. Now, we're talking about who here? A church which is full of what? Saved people, right? Okay, we're talking to a church, but it's full of saved people. And it's talking about the individuals within that church that have gotten out of fellowship with God. They've left the light and they're standing in the darkness. And that individual realizes now that I have sinned against God and this is wrong and God has broken them. God says he's faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. When that person realizes that and they're going the opposite direction, they say, I'm wanting darkness. I'm going this way and God's over there. He didn't leave. We left him. When that person realizes they're wrong, they do something. See, repentance, I'm going to give you a definition that'll fit anywhere. The word repent, repenteth, repentance is found in the Bible, okay? This definition will fit even for God's repentance. It is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Every time you study it out throughout the whole Bible, and that definition will fit anywhere. Amen. A change of mind that results in a change of action. If there's no change of action, there is no repentance. None. If I want to get into Albuquerque, but I start heading south on Coors and I say, oh, I'm going the wrong way. I better repent. I'm repenting and I just keep driving south. There is no repentance. Why? There was a change of mind, but it didn't result in a change of action. That's not repentance. Okay. So this person here realizes they've done wrong. They've sinned against God, saved church member. And they say, God, I'm going this way, but I've been wrong. And what do? They just come like this and they say, oh, God. Forgive me, God. I'm wrong. I've done wrong to you, Lord. I've sinned against you. I didn't listen to you. You told me to do that, and I didn't do it. And you know what happens instantly? Boom, right here, back in fellowship with God, just like that. That's what happened. Just like that, that quick. God just takes faster than I could run. I mean, as soon as the sin's confessed, bam, you're there. Why? Because God promised that he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. Hope this is helping you. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath much more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses was faithful in all his house. Remember what I said last night? I read it to us in Matthew 25. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It says of Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. Why? For a testimony. For a testimony. Now, last I remember, Moses didn't get to go in the promised land. But the Bible says he was faithful in all his house. It seems to me like Moses is pretty important in the Bible. I think we can fairly confidently say that Moses was saved. But one instance in Moses' life, he got out of fellowship with God. He didn't do what God told him to do. He didn't listen to, I'm talking, man, God is exact. God is exact in what he expects. He's not just like, kind of, if it works for you, try it this way. That didn't work for Moses. See, the first time God told Moses, smite the rock. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. He's once smitten. He's only going to die for our sins once. That's it. Hebrews talks about that. He died once for all. The second time he said, speak to the rock. And Moses let his flesh get a hold of him. He was frustrated with the people he was leading. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, Moses is the greatest leader that's ever lived to deal with those millions of people complaining all the time. I mean, that man was probably the greatest leader, obviously apart from Jesus Christ, that I believe ever lived. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. But he got frustrated with the people. He said something along the lines, must I get water out of this rock for you? And boom, in his anger, he hit it. And God said, oh, you didn't listen to me, did you? Guess what, Moses? You don't get to go into the promised land now. See, there's consequences for sin, but guess what? Moses was still saved. And God said he was faithful over all his house. He continued to serve God after that. God just told him, Moses, that's going to cost you there. You reap what you sow. So he says, I'm still going to use you, Moses, but not like I wanted to. Not like I wanted to. That ought to challenge all of us to be careful what we do. Careful what we say. All right, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after. It's for us. He was a testimony for us that he was faithful in all his house as a servant. Now remember that, faithful, house, and servant, okay? Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house. Watch out now, what's that? Help me now. Come on, what is that? It's the church. How do we know that? Amen. How do we know that? There we go. 1 Timothy 3:15. The Bible tells us. Turn to that for me, Brother Josh. Read it real nice and loud for everybody. 1 Timothy 3:15. Nice and loud. 1 Timothy 3:15. Most of you know this. I just want everyone to hear it. All right, in the house of God, which is the church of God. The house of God. Now look at this. But Christ is a son over his own house. Watch out now. This is going to tell us who Hebrews is talking to. Okay, come on now. Whose house are who? We. Amen. Amen. If. What? Wait a minute. Now, if is conditional. If? What do you mean, God? This blows away the universal church.
Right.
Spirit baptism.
Yes, sir.
You said, what are you talking about? How does that blow it away? Because if it doesn't, then salvation's conditional based on my good works.
Oh.
So bye-bye that theory. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if... we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. What do we have to do to be part of his house? We have to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. There ain't no slacking off in this thing. He's got to be firm unto the end. Let's go. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Who's he talking to now? Help me. Come on. To a church. And what does he say? Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So what's he saying? A church, and that's obviously speaking to the people, those assembled that make up that body. What's he warning them? He says, don't harden your heart. How else could we word that? Stay in the light. Stay in fellowship. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. They provoked God. They weren't trusting God. What? They didn't believe God. They didn't have faith in what God said. And God said, because of that, you better watch out if you want to remain part of my house. He ain't talking about losing salvation. He said, you stay in fellowship. Harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Look, it started with when they sent the 12 spies. That was just supposed to be a report of, here's how we're going to kind of do this. Not, it's like, should we go? Shouldn't we go? God already told them to go. They were supposed to go. When they came back and brought back an evil report, they were already in rebellion. They started to provoke him right then and there. They saw my works 40 years. It cost them 40 years in the wilderness. Those that were 20 and above, when that happened, never got to go into the promised land. It cost them. Okay, it's important we remember that. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err where? Now watch out. What do we start with? Jeremiah what? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. What? Now, he's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, but they're being used as an example for us. And what does he say about them? They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why? Because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe his word. Now, he uses that story. He says, they have not known my ways. And he's talking to a church, to his house, using this as an example. He's warning them. And he says in verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What? Well, what's the rest for a Christian? The 1,000-year millennial reign. It's a time of rest. He said, where do you get that from? How many days did it take God to create everything? 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh? He rested. He rested. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. I believe we're getting pretty close to that 6,000-year mark. I could be wrong on that, but I believe as you look at the Bible, study it out, that fits. It just makes sense. Even looking at this, it makes perfect sense to me. He said, I swear in my wrath. So God's wrath can be on his people, saved people. This is what he said. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You're not going into my rest. Why? Because they didn't believe him. So how do you know that? Take heed, brethren, verse 12. So now he transitions from giving this example of what happened with the children of Israel. He's going to make an application of that story, that truth, that thing that happened in the past. He's going to make an application to his church in this day. For us today, we could say. Now, yes, it was to the people he was writing to in Hebrews, but we're a church too, and it applies just as much to us. And he says, take heed, brethren. Hey, that's us, right? We're his church. Lest there be in any of you, watch it now, an evil, evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. My, my, my. How well this fits with 1 John, doesn't it? An evil heart of unbelief. You say, I'm saved. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Great. So did they. They were members of that church. They were a part of that house. But they had an evil heart of unbelief. Meaning what? God told them to do something. They said, God, things are going great over here. I'm enjoying this. And God said, good. I want you to do this. And they said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can't be a preacher or anything. I mean, whoa. And God said, well, that's what I want. I want you to do this. Said, oh, God. I mean, I like serving you, and this is great, and I'm loving what you're doing here. And I mean, this is just amazing, but, you know, I'm not going to church tomorrow. If that's what you're going to ask, I'll just back off a little bit. And look at where they're at now. My. Now they're in darkness. Why? Because of an evil heart of unbelief. And what did he warn? Take heed, brethren, lest ye depart from the living God through an evil heart of unbelief. That's what he warned him. In departing from the living God. Look what he tells him, though. Take heed. He said, don't do this. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Look at that hard heart. There it is again. How does it start? Through getting out of the light, getting out of fellowship, through walking in darkness. Departing from the living God. What, you harden your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness. How come we keep coming back to all this stuff? You see how it fits? Talking about saved people, they err in their heart through the deceitfulness of sin, an evil heart of unbelief. Look at that, talking to saved people. Remember what we read in 2 Peter 1:9? They've forgotten that they have been purged from their old sins because they're blind. Why? Because they are in darkness. And I'm telling you, saved people, if you're not going to look to the Word of God, if you're not going to trust the Word of God, how can you ever have an assurance of your salvation when you've decided you're going to be in darkness? God says, I can't help you over there in the dark. I need you to come to the light. You want assurance? You got to come to the light. You got to look to what my word says. My word is what's going to help you. My word's going to give you the assurance you need. Stop believing what other people say. Just look to my word. My word's what's going to help you. My word will give you the assurance. Amen. Not an evil heart of unbelief. This is what God wants for us. Look at this. Praise God. I like this right here. For we are made partakers of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We got to hold on to it. Amen. The beginning of the confidence is speaking about our baptism. That's the beginning of it.
Amen.
My confidence that I'm going to go into that 1,000-year rest with Him, that I'm going to be a part of His kingdom, starts the moment I go through those baptismal waters and I step into His kingdom. I'm translated from one kingdom unto another, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. It happens at my baptism. My baptism is what makes it possible. And I got to hold fast to that.
Amen.
Steadfast unto the end. That's how I'm made a partaker of Christ. I'm a part of Christ. Hey, man, praise God. Look at that. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Man, this is gooder and gooder. I hope this is helping you. I'm telling you, I hope it's helping you. Hope you're understanding. Look, I'm not trying to tell you if you're saved or not. I can't do that, but I'm trying to tell you, here's what the Bible says. You can think that you're lost because you've gotten away from God and you've gotten into darkness. What's the key? Just walk in the light. Stop disobeying Him. Confess your sin. Get brought back into the light. Any sin, any little sin, I don't care what it is. You've been convicted about something, you're like, ah, that's just a little thing. Confess it. Get that thing right. Confession means you're in agreement with God, though. If God says that's sin and you confess it, then you're saying, okay, God, well, then I guess I better do something about it then. It doesn't just mean, Lord, forgive me, I did that, and I'm going to just keep it here. I'll just kind of hide it so nobody sees it. No, that's not confession. You're not in agreement with God then. You're not agreeing with God. You're back there where if we say that we have not sinned, you deceive yourself. Because if you haven't really just given that thing up, then you're not confessing. You're not agreeing with God that this is really sin. Confession means agreement. Hey, what? Wait a minute. Confession means agreement. Isn't that where this whole thing started? Fellowship?
Amen.
True confession means, okay, yeah, you're absolutely right, God. I'm going to get rid of this. You know what some people need to do? I've done this. You need to go home and burn some things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's in the Bible. Read about it. Acts 19. Burn some things.
Amen.
Burn your ungodly music.
Amen.
I'm telling you, burn ungodly movies.
Amen.
Burn ungodly clothing.
Yep. Amen.
They did. They were in agreement with God. They confessed it was wrong in Acts chapter 19. I get excited. Amen. And I'm tired. All right, Galatians 3:26 says, for ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. That puts you in the family of God. Amen?
Great.
Amen. When you, look, and I don't have time to get into all this, but when repentance isn't mentioned, it's implied.
Right.
And when faith isn't mentioned, it's implied. Because I could show verses, too, that say just repentance, dealing with salvation. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, well, faith is implied then, because if you've done that, God's implying that the salvation is there. Why? Because you've repented and you put your faith in Him. So when this just says faith, repentance already took place. Okay, the Philippian jailer, people say, well, that's the one place in the Bible where it was said, the question's asked, what must I do to be saved? And it doesn't say repent. That's what they'll tell you. He came in. You know, and what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. See, it's just belief. Okay, well, let's ignore all the scriptures that talk about repentance. But I'm like, you got to be brain dead and blind to not see that repentance took place in that thing.
Amen.
He was asleep and didn't care about those men. They were in the inner prison. That's three deep. That's as far in. You're not getting out. And that earthquake happens. The doors bust open. The shackles come off. And he realizes the doors are open. He's about to kill himself. And Paul says, And the Bible says, but Paul. Amen. Thank God for a but Paul. Said, do thyself no harm. Wait. And now all of a sudden this guy, and man, look at the picture. I like it. It's good. Amen. We're not in it, but look at it later. Acts chapter 16. He comes in, and what does he come in with? He comes in with a light. That's just a little picture. I'm not saying it's necessarily anything, but it's a little picture that he comes in with a light. And he says, what must I do to be saved? And he's trembling. And that's, they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look, if that ever happens to you, if you're a prison guard, there's an earthquake and all the doors break open. Well, hold on, let me back up first. Before that, before the earthquake and everything, you got a couple guys in the prison that are singing praises to God so loud everyone can hear them at midnight. That makes prisoners happy too when they can't sleep and somebody's singing praises to Jesus. Most prisoners are like, yes, amen, glory. I mean, that's what happens in most prisons, I think. No, that's not what happened. They don't like that at midnight. They say, shut up and let us go to sleep. And it's a lot meaner than that. So that's first got to happen. They got to be singing praises to God after they've just been beat. Okay, singing praises to God. And then an earthquake happens. The guards got it. You as the guard need to be asleep. None of the prisoners leave. And then, if you're there, I'm sorry, you're not the guard, but if you're the two people in there, none of the prisoners leave. You see the guard's about to kill himself. You say, wait, stop. And if he comes running in and says, what must I do to be saved? Man, don't even mention repentance. Just tell him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's all you got to do. But look at what this guy did when we get back to that story. He took him out of prison. That'll get you killed in Rome. They baptize him. And he washes their stripes. Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That puts you in the family. Now look at this here. Come on, right here. This is good. This will do away with the spirit baptism, universal church. Okay? This will kill it too. We see salvation in verse 26, but look at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized where? Into Christ, have put on Christ. Your baptism puts you into Christ. Hebrews said you're a partaker of Christ. Hold fast the confidence of your... I got to go back and read it now. Sorry, this hard one-handed. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We are made a partaker of Christ. Well, what makes me a partaker of Christ? As many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's when I'm a partaker of him. You've put on Christ. Some want to say that, oh, that's talking about spirit baptism. Well, they teach spirit baptism salvation. So what's verse 26 talking about? Two different things, right? One's salvation, it puts you in the family of God. The other one's baptism by a true New Testament church that has the authority to do it.
Amen.
That baptism puts you into Christ. You're made a partaker of Christ. That's your translation. That's when you're put into his kingdom. When you get baptized, you are put into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what puts you into it. And we have to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, look, I said all this to say, look, are we going to be in darkness? Are we going to be in light? And I believe this is why so many people do not have an assurance of their salvation. I'm talking about people who are genuinely saved and they have no assurance of their salvation because they have stepped off in darkness. And they might just be right here. But when that's here, there's no fellowship. And you can't be close to God when you're not in the light. So what's the answer? It's to confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I get right back here. That's what we need. See, it's a good thing when you're convicted. When you sin and you're convicted, that is God's spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child, that you're his child. When God tells you, hey, share the gospel with that person, That's a good thing. Look, can I say this? It's a good thing. It's qualified, but it's a good thing even if you disobey. It's not good that you disobeyed, but it's good because God is speaking to you and His Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. You understand? I hope that was a help. I really do. I wanted to help everyone here today. I don't want people struggling and hurting over that. And look, if you're not saved, get saved. Get saved if you're not. But maybe it's just you need some confession. So you can be right back over here. Right back in the light. God promised eternal life. It means eternal. That's what it means. It's not less than that. It means just that. And I thank God for it. I know I'm saved. I know it. I remember that night down on my knees. And I know God saved me. Amen.